I've got two sermons to preach today, Craig. One will probably be 22 minutes. One will be a flashback, and it may be a little bit longer. We'll see when we get there. The text today is Acts 28. James read from the ending of the book of Acts. I mentioned before Luke tells two stories of Jesus. The story of Jesus in his physical body in Luke, the story of Jesus in his spiritual body in Acts, and there are so many parallels between Luke and Acts. There's the birth stories, the birth of Jesus as a baby, the birth of Jesus as a church. There are these growth updates that happen that tell you what's happening with the body. There are the arrivals of the Holy Spirit with the baptism of Jesus in Luke 3 and the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. There are these travel journals, Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, Paul on his way to Rome. And there are the conclusions, both of which involve people waiting. In Acts, they're waiting to see what's going to happen when Pentecost comes. And in Rome, Paul's waiting to see what's going to happen next to him. There are common themes in Luke and Acts, and we've gone over these in the weeks past. The importance of women to the ministry of Jesus and in the early church. The importance of the poor. How the church reached out to outcasts. The importance of the Holy Spirit. And the preaching. You see the story of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection in Luke, and then you see how that's the message that was being preached in Acts. You remember the refrain that was in all the sermons in Acts. You killed him, God raised him. That's the refrain. That was the meat of the message that was being preached in those sermons in Acts. So there are these common themes between Luke and Acts. And you really see Jesus being on the move in Acts. You see Jesus reaching out through the body, reaching out to the Jews and reaching out to the Samaritans and reaching out to the Gentiles. And then there's some odd kind of categories of people like eunuchs and John's disciples. And we're reminded in Acts that just as Jesus reached out to everyone, even those in the margins, the church, the body of Christ, is called to do the very same thing. But then we get to the end of Acts, and I don't know, I'm a little disappointed, at least at first reading. We get to the end and we're left hanging. It just doesn't have a conclusion like I would expect. And I think what Luke is doing is he's using a very interesting style in writing Acts where he gets to the end, the church is moving, the church is moving, the church is moving, the church is moving, and then boom, you just stop. And I think what Luke is doing is inviting us to continue the story. He just leaves us hanging because he wants us to see our place in the story. We are, as it were, Acts 29. The story of the church, the story of Jesus as the church, continues in our lives. Just as Jesus was on the move in Luke, the church kept Jesus on the move in Acts. And just as the church was on the move in Acts, the church should be on the move today. The church should be on the move in our community here. And that's where I want to go back to a sermon from April of 2011 that I preached here as I finished up my first big sermon series here. And I want to go back and remind you some of the things that we talked about and some of the things that we imagined about what we wanted to see the church be. Because I think when we go back and do this and spend a little bit of time thinking about it, we will see that we are in kind of hopefully a spirit-led and very intentional way moving into some of the dreams that we together dreamed a couple years ago. I began the sermon in April 2011 with an exhortation to free our imaginations as to what the church could be, to think outside the box, to question what we're doing and why we're doing it, and to have the courage to confront sacred cows. It is time, I said, for us to stop complaining about our disappointments in how the church has been and start making it our dream church. We need to have an artist's creativity and imagination as we move forward. One of my favorite artists is Vincent van Gogh. You remember his works, Starry, Starry Night? And the striking thing is God is just speaking so much through the heavens, all the stars. But he realized the one building in the community that's dark is the church. There's no lights on in the church. And there's a real message there that God is alive and God is speaking, but so often the church isn't a part of what God is saying and what God is doing. Then there's his selfie. He called it self-portrait, but I think selfie works better personally. There's the sunflowers. And my favorite, the irises, which I've actually seen in the Getty Museum in Los Angeles. And you think, well, this thing is really not all that big. It hangs on the wall and it's sold for like $100 million or something. It's just not that big. And I go up and I'm looking at it and I'm like, why? I asked the docent, $100 million for this? Why? And he said, well, you got to understand what paintings looked like back then. They didn't have all these. And this was a whole new way of doing things. So, I mean, you look, there's creativity, there's imagination. But I shared with you back in 2011 that I came across a scientific analysis and a summary of 28 pieces of Van Gogh's paintings. Now, these are all representative of one of Van Gogh's masterpieces. The researcher reduced all the imagination and all the artistic flair of Van Gogh into 28 pie charts to analyze his use of colors. This is what you get. 28 scientific pie charts instead of the beautiful colors and the beautiful imagery of the artist. Now, do you see the difference between the art and the pie chart? This is why I think it's so important for us to free our imaginations when it comes to dreaming about the future of the church. It's possible to take the living body of Christ, the body of Christ that's alive and moving and growing and changing, and turn it into a lifeless, stale institution. And at Lafayette, we have been spending time, I said in 2011, praying and studying and dreaming and thinking. We've had classes and meetings and conversations, and I can add now, we've had discernment groups. Asking, who does God want us to be? Where are we going? What is our mission? Imagine a church. And on that day in April of 2011, I completed that series of sermons by preaching this, we have a dream, we have a vision of what church can be. We have a dream of shared worship gatherings where all present are invited to offer their praise to God, joining their hearts before the throne of the Almighty God. We have a dream of participating in a blended style of worship with a diversity of worship expressions in an atmosphere of freedom, gatherings where it's about God rather than us, where together we can express our greatest joys and our deepest sorrows, where we are drawn closer rather than divided by our diverse personalities and diverse preferences. Some of us are extroverts, demonstrative with our feelings. Others are introverts, introspective with our feelings. And all of us can function together and let our love for one another override the differences in personality and the preferences in gray areas. We dream of being lost in the wonder of God's grace to the point where we accept each other as God has accepted us, even when we disagree in matters of opinion. We have a dream about worship overflowing the walls of the church building and turning our everyday lives into a temple of praise as we die to ourselves and live to imitate Jesus. We have a dream about learning to think and walk and talk like Jesus in whatever situation we encounter. In the good times, we are like Jesus. In the bad times, we are like Jesus. All the time, we are like Jesus. When people mistreat us, we are like Jesus. No matter how people treat us, we are like Jesus. Imagine someone mistaking you for Jesus. We have a dream about lives being transformed in a way explained only by the activity of the Holy Spirit of God. Imagine hearts so full of love by the presence of God's Spirit. Imagine minds renewed with wisdom and discernment by the indwelling Spirit. Imagine, rather than trivializing the Holy Spirit, treasuring the Holy Spirit, putting the holy back in Holy Spirit. Imagine being shaped by the holy power of God's Spirit into a people of love and joy and peace. A people of patience and kindness and goodness. A people of faithfulness, dependability, and gentleness and ego control. We have a dream. We have a dream about church being a people ready and willing to carry each other's burdens and meet each other's needs. Imagine a oneness with one another that can only be understood by the oneness between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have a dream about accepting one another and being devoted to one another, even when our lives get messy. We have a dream. We have a dream about being a faith community driven by love for one another. A community that recognizes that claims of a loving God are hollow if we do not love each other. Can you imagine that kind of church family? We have a dream about engaging times of prayer in which we hear God speak out of the silence, where we are in pain, in a time of wilderness, and we hear God's reminder of God's joy and God's peace. We dream about a church being a family devoted to praying for one another at all times, particularly in times of great need. Imagine a family that wrestles in prayer for you, where your ministers and your elders and your fellow members are praying for you daily that you may be mature and have full assurance of your faith. We dream about being in conversation with Almighty God. We have a dream about people coming to Christ because of the way God reveals Himself through us as we live and speak in the world. We dream about seeing and knowing that we are disciples of Jesus, children of God, because we love each other enough to be united. Not in competition with one another, but in partnership with one another. Not filling our building at the expense of cannibalizing another church and calling ourselves a success, but loving people who don't know Jesus. We have a dream about being a body which always keeps its eyes open for opportunities to spread the love of Christ. We dream about being God's messengers of hope and grace to our hurting and broken world. We have a dream about recognizing baptism as an historic confession of faith in Christ and an initiation into the community of faith, but more. We dream about being a church where baptism is about receiving the greatest gift of God's grace, God's forgiveness. Imagine a church where baptism is about grace and about Jesus. Imagine being intimately united with fellow believers and with Christ in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We dream about people being born again. We dream about having our hearts emblazoned with the words of Scripture. Imagine people whose words are shaped, whose lives are shaped, and drawn from the very Word of God. Imagine preaching and teaching that flows from the living Word. Imagine a church where preaching is a time of worship, where God is revealed and we are called to see God and acknowledge God and know God and bow our very lives before God in worship. We dream of being taught by God, being a church that's always on mission. We have a dream about being a congregation that understands how important it is to gather to see God and to worship God on Sundays. And a congregation that also understands how important it is for us to, on Monday, scatter to reflect the God that we have worshiped on Sunday. A church that dreams of having that holy rhythm of gathering and scattering. We have a dream of being a congregation actively partnering with God in God's work in West County as we call people into the community of faith. reaching out with God's love to the lonely and the forgotten and the marginalized of the community. We dream of being a church that will do whatever it takes to reach the lost, even if that means doing things that challenge tradition and leave some people scratching their heads and saying, "What are they doing now?" Can you imagine a church where the most important members are the ones who aren't here yet? We dream of reaching out beyond West County into the surrounding communities like St. Louis City and at that time I mentioned Joplin, of course. And beyond that to Honduras and to Kenya and to Cambodia and into all the world. We dream of being Christ's hands and feet in our neighborhood and in the world. We dream about clarifying our mission. Imagine us with a church family that is the body of Christ. Imagine a church where everybody is clear that we exist to be Jesus in West County. That each of us is following Jesus by loving God and loving people. Imagine a church where each part, each member, has a function. And everyone is committed to carrying out their part in the functioning of the body. We dream about being a church like this. That is what we want to be. That was April 2011. Luke leaves us hanging in Acts. Luke invites us to be the next chapter. The story doesn't end. The story continues. And as we look back to what we've been envisioning and what we've been thinking and what we've been dreaming about being as a church, this is a good time for us to stop and reflect and thank God for where God has brought us and to ask God to continue to take us into our vision and into our dreams. There are two or three things I want to mention specifically that we are seeing kind of develop right now. We are seeing developing right now, growing out of the community outreach discernment group, ways for us to be Jesus in our community right here. Now, granted, the most important thing for us as missionaries is to realize that all of us are missionaries come tomorrow morning. You know what I mean when I say that. I'm not saying we're all this afternoon. I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying. I'd say that because somebody said, "Well, what about today? Are we missionaries today?" That's first and foremost. We want to be a missional church. That is, every one of us goes out of here to our jobs, to our neighborhoods, to our friends, to our families tomorrow on a mission to be Jesus to people. Okay? So in your neighborhood, in my neighborhood, there needs to be a presence of Jesus. A presence of the Lafayette Church there, around every one of our homes, around every one of our offices, around our lockers at school. But we also have a responsibility as a body to realize that right here around us, there's so many opportunities to serve, so many opportunities to reach out to people who are just like the people Jesus reached out to, just like the people the early church took notice of. And I'm really excited about the three things that the community outreach group, discernment group, kind of targeted as areas for us to really focus on right here in our community. We've already kind of dipping our toe in the water of the outreach through Selvage, the interaction through Selvage. And that's going to take us into our neighborhood, into some of the lower income areas. We also are... this weekend, I believe, unless plans have changed, there's going to be the first kind of meeting of the folks who are going to be working at the West County Care Center down the street. We've got a whole lot of stuff that's going on. This is an exciting time at Lafayette. Going into next year, this is an exciting time. All right. We've also had a real blessing given to us by God through the work of the... of the fellowship, of the relationship building discernment team, small group ministry discernment team. And we are now kicking off, our second group kicks off today. Some of you did it last week. The second cycle of three cycles of connect groups begins today for me and Lorraine. And what an opportunity this is to get to know folks. Because so many of us don't know each other. This is an opportunity to get to know each other. This is an opportunity for us to start getting to know someone that perhaps we're going to end up going into a deeper relationship with in the future. This is an exciting time to be at Lafayette. Just a few weeks ago, we completed the service opportunities survey in our church about matching you with things that you are gifted to do and things that you have a passion for to do at this church. We were overwhelmed by the response and by how many people have signed up to do various things in our church. We are finally going to be at a point now where ministry leaders can begin looking at who's working in their area and realize that some people are involved in so much stuff that probably they don't need to be spread so thin, and we can try to start letting people kind of narrow down their focus a bit. And we have the people who are saying, I want to help, enough to make that a reality. It's going to be incredibly important in the weeks to come that our ministry leaders don't drop the ball on getting all this information. Because I know it's difficult to delegate. And we have a lot of ministry leaders who have said, one of the hardest things it is for me is to delegate something. Ministry leaders, I want to tell you, it's time to look at these lists and see how many people want to be involved and ask people to serve and tell them what to do and turn them loose. Because we have the involvement potential to do that. It's an exciting time to be Lafayette. I want to tell you something. You look at Luke and you see Jesus. And then you look at Acts, and you see people that we call church trying to emulate Jesus. We today want to continue being the people who emulate Jesus. Jesus Christ is our model church. Jesus has shown us what we need to be doing. Luke tells us what Jesus began to do and teach. Acts tells us what Jesus continued to do and teach. And you know what? We're here today saying we've got to continue doing and teaching like Jesus did and like the folks in the early church did, trying to imitate Jesus. This is an exciting time to be at Lafayette because Jesus is alive and Jesus is living among us. And we have so many opportunities to live a kingdom life, live a resurrection life, live a Jesus life. And these opportunities are right in front of us. I cannot wait to see us live into this dream that we started talking about in 2011. And we have steadily built toward this day. Next year, we're going to be looking at a number of other opportunities, and I've already shared with you the first discernment group begins meeting mid-January and will continue through the end of February. That's our hospitality ministry discernment team. We're going to be talking about how we as a church deal with people, as we're saying it, from the first time they drive up in the parking lot until the end of their first year's membership. We need to be dreaming, and we need to be seeking God, and we need to be looking for ways to improve our hospitality. A number of you have signed up to be a part of that. If you didn't and you're like, I don't think I want to be in with that, then let me know and I'd be happy to include you too. We're going to spend time praying, we're going to spend some time reading and studying, and we're going to be dreaming about how God can transform us in yet another area here at Lafayette. This is an exciting time. An exciting time to be here at this church. I want to talk to To those of you here today who are here, but you have never been baptized as a confession of your faith, you've never been baptized as an initiation into kingdom life for new birth, I hope and pray that as we're winding down this study of Jesus in the church, that you will be, your interest will at least be piqued to find out more about what this very important act of baptism is all about. I want to encourage you to talk to one of the elders or talk to me. We would love to talk more about what this step means in your life and how that kind of transforms your life and your relationship with God and others. And I also want to say a word as I close today. I want to say a word to those who are Christians but who may not be a part of our church family here at Lafayette. I want to encourage you to not wait too long before you publicly identify with the church. Jim has talked before about what an important step that is to kind of publicly say, hey, I'm in, to throw in with us. And I've said before that we a lot of times use the phrase, instead of talking about members at Lafayette, we use the phrase mission partners, because membership has its privileges, and we think of it in country club terms, and that's not at all what we're about here. When you become a member, become a part, you're a part of the body, meaning you have a function. You're a working part of the body. You're a mission partner. You're with us on this mission that we have. Okay? Again, if you would like to explore what that means and what the implications are and being a part of our family here at Lafayette, I again want to encourage you to talk to one of the elders or talk to me, and do it today. We can set up a time to sit down and have some meaningful conversation about what all that implies. That being said, I want to go back to what I said earlier. This is the note on which I want to close. This is an exciting time to be at Lafayette, because Jesus is alive in this church. And Jesus is moving into our community at this church. Thank God that God, in all grace, has given us the opportunity to be a part of a family like this. Let's be Jesus.